Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
The scripture, step by step, line upon line. But I want you to be sensitive. I want you to be very sensitive to what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. The Lord told me there will be a shift. I prayed much for this meeting. No, just keep playing, but just reduce it. Yeah. I prayed much for this meeting. And I have the witness of the Lord that this meeting will be very definitive in your life. Very definitive. Now let's start from Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Read the book of Psalms chapter 1. You know, your pastor is an erudite teacher. Erudite teacher. So, I'm a brother, so I will just, praise God, I will just share the bit I can. Hallelujah. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He says, in his law doth he meditate, how? Day and night. Not morning and evening, day and night. Not morning and evening. He says, can we read verse 3 together? One to go. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I want us to read verse 3 again. One to go. I want you to read it one more time. One more time. Hold on. Hold on. You're not reading it the way I wanted you to read it. I am like a tree. Okay? Because this is speaking about you. It's not speaking about some fellow out there in space. It's speaking about you. So say this. I am like a tree.
I am like a
go
tree.
Go on. I bring forth. How many things shall prosper? Whatever I do. Hallelujah. One of the biggest challenges we have in the body of Christ is mental assent, where people mentally agree to the truth of God's word, but there is no active faith in their hearts to step into the reality of what they have read or what they have heard. I'm going to explain it this way. The Bible tells us that Peter was taken captive by Herod. You remember the story? Herod took Peter captive. And the reason he did that was because he took James, the Lord's half-brother, captive, beheaded him, nothing happened. And he thought to himself, this is great. I mean, let me get another one of them. And so he goes for Peter. And then the Bible tells us that Peter was held in captivity with 4 quaternions of soldiers, and Herod was going to bring him out at Easter to kill him, to behead him. Well, to cut the long story short, the Bible says that prayer was made without ceasing of the church for Peter. An angel was dispatched from heaven. Peter was released from prison. And then the Bible says that the angel led Peter by the hand. You know the story from the first gate, the second gate, then brought him to a true living gate that opened of its own accord to the city. And then it was at that point Peter came to him. He said, I'm not dreaming. This is actually true. This is actually happening. I've been delivered to tell you that this was not the active faith of Peter. He wasn't believing for it. Chances are that he was seated there in that cell and he knew that, well, this is the end. Jesus, I have tried. I've done my only 2 bits. He wasn't believing for his deliverance. If he was, he would not have been shocked that he was delivered. Are you getting what I'm saying here?
Yes,
now, but the Bible says that prayer was made without ceasing of the church. And if you read it very well, it was in the house of Mary, the mother of Jesus. That's where they were making prayers for Peter. And so like a space like this. They were making prayers for Peter, and then Peter gets there and knocks on the door to get them to open the door. And the reason they locked the door in those days was persecution. All right, so it's not like church now that we can open our doors. There was heavy persecution, so you needed to guard who was coming in and who was going out. So they knocked on the door. Peter knocked on the door. And the Bible says a young damsel by name Rhoda, I think she was the usher. It's ushers that opened door. All right. I'm sure the singers were in the spirit, groaning and chanting. Prayer coordinator, Peter. So the damsel sees Peter at the door, and she goes to tell the person leading prayers, Peter has been released. Do you know what they told her? They said, leave it. You are seeing double. Now think of it. What was the prayer they were praying? For the release of Peter. Now Peter was released. What did they say? You know, it's very possible for people to continue in Christian disciplines without the faith that this thing will work. People can be praying actively. Just like they were praying, Peter, Peteru, Piro, whatever names they had, groaning, Peter, come out, come on. Yeah. Whatever terms they had, they would have prayed all the, you can imagine the kinds of prayers they were praying, and Peter had been released. She had to go check a second time. Do you know what they told her the second time? They said, it's his ghost. Just to explain it a bit further to you, in the Jewish culture, they had something close to what the Yorubas have, the Southwesterners have, which is disembodied spirits. They believe that when somebody dies, for a season, he will roam the earth before he goes to his eternal rest or his eternal judgment. So the Jews believed a bit in that okay, if somebody dies, his spirit, his ghost will roam the earth. So for them to say it's his ghost, what did the person really believe? Peter was dead. What was the person praying? Peter, be released. Come out. Come out. I always tell people, the only person that released Peter in that place was Rhoda. She was the only one that believed. Every other person, they enjoyed the prayer. They were not looking out for the results. They enjoyed the prayer. And I started by saying that, with that, because many a times, the many things in God's word that we have seen, and we mentally accent to and say, well, yes, I agree that this is true. I agree that the word of God says so. I agree that this is right. I agree that Jesus said it. The question is, have you seen the fruit of it in your life? The goal of the scriptures is to make your life a mirror image of whatever you see in that book. It is not just for us to be able to quote it. It is not just for us to be able to declare it and, say, the word of God says. That's not the essence. The essence of interacting with scriptures is to make your life a mirror image of the word. And until we get there, there's no stopping. And that's why I'm excited. This conference is Faith Life Conference, because the tool with which we superimpose the word of God, the truth of God's word, upon the facts of our lives is by our faith. And let me say this to you. I'm sharing this with you because this has been the life that I lived, that I've lived all of my life. There's practically nothing, and I'll tell you the truth, standing before God as my witness, there's practically nothing that I am standing in today that was not an active exercise. When I say active, I mean faith, believing God's word and standing on God's word, on the integrity of God's word. And let me say this to you, the word never fails. I need you to believe it. I need you to believe it. The word of God never fails. If the Bible says whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, if the Bible says that you always bear fruit, this is the real character of your life. Yes, are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
And so we have to believe God's word. And not just believe it, because believe is not just I agree with what he has said. Believe actually means that you're going to do all that it takes to ensure that your life is a reflection of whatever he said. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me show you another scripture. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Hallelujah. Amen. And guess what? The most adventurous life, the most exciting life on earth is the life of faith. Yes, Oh, I can tell you that for free. The most adventurous, the most exciting life on earth is the life of faith. Faith is sweet. Faith works. I'm telling you the truth. It works in such a way that no man can say he has made Abraham rich. Yeah. It works in such a way that at the end of the day, the glory has to go back to God. We have this treasure in 18 verses, that the excellence of power may be of God and not of us. Are you following what I'm saying here? And so my assignment here tonight really and truly is just to charge you and get you to a place to actually step out on the word. Step out on the word. Tell the person beside you, there's more to you than this. There is more to you than this. There's more to you than this. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Verse 6. It says, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, shall not see when good comes, shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Verse 7. Can we read this together? I want to go. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. Verse 8. Come on. Do you see that again? We read Psalms. That's David. Now, this is Jeremiah. All right. Okay. You know how I want you to read it, right? All right. So let's correct and read it. Want to go? Will not fear when heat. Hold on. Did he say heat will not come? What did he say? Will not fear when heat comes. Go on. Not cease from yielding fruit. Next verse 9. Okay, I mean, we can leave this one. This is not the one we are looking for. Praise God. Go back to verse 8. Go back to verse 8. A picture of the blessed man. This is the picture, the portrait of your life. He says, you are like a tree planted by the waters. Your roots are spread out by the river. Will not fear when heat comes. Your leaves will be evergreen. Will not be anxious in the year of drought. Nor will you ever cease from yielding fruit. This is a picture of our lives. I want you to know that we have been redeemed unto a life of glory. We've been called to a life of glory and virtue. We're not called to, something good today, a little good today, a little. No, that's not what we're called to. We've been called redemption. You see, when Israel was brought out of Egypt, the Bible tells us a few things about what happened. Number one, it says none was feeble amongst them. A nation of 3 million people. If you gather 10 people, at least one will be feeble. But you have 3 million people gathered, and the Bible says that none was feeble amongst them. The Bible tells us that as they went, the sea saw it. That's the presence of God upon them, and it fled before them. The Bible says when they were leaving Egypt, they left with what? Silver, they left with gold, they left with supplies. Are you getting what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Pictures of the redemption that we have in God. Don't forget, before Israel left Egypt, Moses had gone to meet Pharaoh and said to him, God says, let my people go, that they may serve me, that they may worship me. What did Pharaoh say? He said, well, you can go leave the cattle behind. They said, we will need the cattle. Okay, you can go leave the women and the children behind. Oh, we will need this. In essence, Satan will always negotiate the full terms of your redemption. He will always negotiate the full terms of your redemption. He's not. Listen, you have to understand this. Satan knows he can't defeat the believer. It's the believer that thinks Satan can defeat him. It's the Christian that thinks otherwise. Satan knows he cannot defeat the believer. So what does he do? Number one, he tries to weary the believer out. That's why he brings challenges upon challenges. And number two, he tries to negotiate the believer out of his full package. You have to understand this. It's like when Elkanah had two wives. You remember the story? Hannah being one of them, Peninnah being the other one. And Hannah, every year they go up to Shiloh. The Bible says Elkanah will give her worthy portions. Just to, I still love you, even though you've not given me a child. And then Peninnah, he will give her just portions and all the rest. And one day Hannah said, listen, It's nice to have worthy portions, but this is not the best in God. Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
You see, there's what we call compromise gifts. There's what we call compromise gifts, with which Satan will negotiate you out of the fullness of what God has for you. But you see, we're leaving this place today and we're going for all that God has for us.
Yes,
are you following what I'm saying? Now, if you, can I use this, sir? Let's imagine that this is a coin. And I'm going stepwise so that we can get this. Let's imagine that this is a coin. No coin is complete without both sides. Are you following what I'm saying here? The fullness of what God has for you is both generic and specific. Let me explain what I mean by generic and specific. And let me tell you this here. You don't have that fullness if you stand in just one of them. The fullness of what God has prepared for you is both generic and specific. Let me explain it this way. Canaan is generic to Israel. But the portion where Zebulun will dwell is specific to Zebulun.
Yes,
so when he says that the lines are falling onto me in pleasant places, the boundary lines of my inheritance have fallen onto me in pleasant places. The whole of Canaan is described as a land that flows with milk and honey. Am I right?
Yes,
the whole of Canaan, that's generic. Which means whether you belong to the tribe of Asher, to the tribe of Zebulun, you belong to this tribe or that tribe, everyone can say that we have come to where? Canaan. And this land of Canaan does what? Flows with what? Milk and honey. Say with me, general. But the boundary lines for each person differs. The specific points of entry, the specific boundary lines of inheritance. Are you following what I'm saying here? Everyone, when you ask them, where do you dwell? I dwell in Canaan. What does that land look like? It's a land that flows with milk and honey. But where they dwell in Canaan differs from place to place. Are you following what I'm saying here? In the same way, in the kingdom of God, we have these full generic blessings, prosperity, healing, all the seven blessings of soteria, peace, wisdom, all of these things that Jesus has purchased for us on the cross. It's general to all of us. But you see, there are specifics talking about God's plans and God's purposes for our lives. Now, God's desire is not that you fulfill his plan without you enjoying the general blessings. In fact, I found out it's almost impossible for you to fulfill his specific plan and his will for your life without you learning how to access the general. You must enter Canaan first to get your allocation. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
So we are building up because I'm going to start from the general. And it's important, you see, because what was it that Peter was looking for? Fish. What was the first thing Jesus gave Peter? Fish. But after he gave him fish, he called him to something greater.
Yes, sir.
Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
In essence, he will first give the fish and he does not mind giving the fish. But in the giving of the fish, there's something greater. There's something higher. There's a purpose to the prosperity. There's a purpose to the marriage. There's a purpose to the wealth. There's a purpose to everything that he does in our lives. Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes,
but we have to accept that he has redeemed us for a good life. Say that with me. I am redeemed,
for a good life.
This is irrespective of your pedigree. It is irrespective of where you were born. It is irrespective of where you live. It is irrespective of who you know. Redemption is a leveler. The same blood that redeemed the peasant is the blood that redeemed the wealthy. Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
The same cross that redeemed the white is the cross that redeemed the black. For God is no respecter of persons. Are you following what I'm saying here? Here, this many years ago as a young man, that scripture came alive in my heart. God is no respecter of persons. If I believe this word, I will get there.
Yes,
it is called like precious faith. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
We're talking first about the general. You can have a good life. You don't have to be broke today and manage tomorrow
Somebody says, but you don't know what I'm going through right now. Well, I don't need to know. Jesus knows. And he already made provision for it. Are you getting what I'm saying here? One of the things we have to do is to free ourselves, release ourselves, to believe in the fullness of what God has made available to us, and believe that it's yours and you can have it when now. Not later. You can have it now. You can have it now. The fullness of what God has for you. Say this with me. I live the blessed life. Say this. I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Say this. I bear my fruits in every season. Say this. I do not fear drought. I do not see heat when it cometh. Say this. I live a blessed life. How many of you believe that? Hey, come on. I want to know how many of you actually believe that you are the blessed of the Lord. Can I see your hand? Say it again. I'm the blessed of the Lord. Say this. I refuse anything less than the blessing. Say this. I am the blessed of the Lord. You believe that? Now the question is, how come believers have a lot of these things written out in God's word, and many a times our lives are almost the exact opposite? The first thing you should know is this, is that the world is structured into kingdoms. If you are not acquainted with this, you're just going to live your life, you know, just I wake up in the morning, I go to school, I go to work, I do this. When I get a master's, or when I do this, or when I do that, at certain age, I get married. And then you think that life is ordinary. The earth, the world as it is today, is structured into two kingdoms. And the moment, listen carefully, because I need to explain this. The moment you get saved, the moment you say yes to the Lordship of Jesus, the Bible says you are translated from the kingdom of darkness, which means there is a kingdom of darkness. If there's a kingdom of darkness, there are laws and principles that governs that kingdom. You have to understand that. And the laws and the principles of that kingdom will determine the results that they have in that kingdom. That's why some believers would say, and you know, I've heard some people say it, and it's because they're not, it's either out of lack of true integrity for accuracy of scriptures, or they are not well thought. God's what to say that. They say things like, oh, you know, there's really no big deal. I mean, redemption, why are we talking about prosperity? I mean, that does not matter and all the rest. I always say this, if the shadow included material prosperity, the substance should include it much more. Yes, sir. Are you listening to what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Now, in the world, Satan has a way and a purpose. Say with me, a way and a purpose. A plan and a purpose. In essence, he has a plan with which, plans and principles with which he enriches his kids. And there's a purpose for it. There's a purpose for it. I remember years ago, I was speaking with a certain young man. I'll cut the long story short. He had just relocated from the United States to Nigeria. And then he told me, Pastor, Reverend, this was maybe like 10 years ago. He told me at the time, he said, at that time, they would spend about $450,000 to $600,000 every night, every Friday night, Saturday night. I don't think he did Sunday night. Friday night, Saturday night in clubs. $400,000 to $600,000 in clubs every night. I'm told now that there is a bottle. I mean, there are bottles that cost as much as 500,000. More than 500,000. And people buy it every Friday night. Yes. I know some of you are shocked. Yes, that's somebody's house rent. 500,000. They declare your house rent. That you are still believing God for. Are you following what I'm saying here? They declare it. Satan has a plan, and if somebody says, unbelievers, even the richest man in Nigeria is not a believer, so why are we talking about wealth and prosperity? You don't need to be a believer. And what they don't know is that it's a kingdom. There's a reason for that wealth. There's a reason for that money. There's a reason for that system. The same way, once you get born again and you get saved, there is a kingdom you are birthed into, and this kingdom has what principles by which it functions. One of the things I found out is that begging is not a principle.
In essence, you can't beg God into your prosperity. Oh God, show up my woman here on it. Will you be looking at me like this? Oh God, oh God. You can't beg God because it's not one of the principles of the kingdom. You can't beg God into your wealth. You can't beg God into what God has for you. It's not possible. It's not one of the principles of the kingdom. And what has happened to many believers is that we have been birthed into a kingdom without learning the operations of the kingdom. Are you following what I'm saying here? And so we have expectations and we feel like, well, this is what God's word says. How come I'm not seeing it in my life? Don't forget what I said. I said every kingdom has principles that governs its operations and purposes. In essence, there is a purpose to everything that God brings your way in the kingdom. If God brings wealth your way, there's a purpose to it. There's a reason to it. Because it's within what? A kingdom. Are you still here tonight?
Yes, sir.
And so we have to start learning, what are the principles of this kingdom? How does God's kingdom function? How does God's kingdom operate? It's one of the things that I thank God early in my life I started finding out. You see, because I've found this out, I've learned that you can accumulate knowledge without getting principles. You can actually accumulate a lot. And this is why you have believers who have accumulated a lot of knowledge, but they don't have working principles. It is the difference between wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That's the difference. Now, do you know that, how many of you know Toyota cars? Can I see your hands? Everybody here knows Toyota cars, right? How many of you can fix a Toyota car when it breaks down? How many of you can couple a Toyota car together to make it work? Now, you know Toyota. You have knowledge of Toyota. You have knowledge of even where they make it from. Some of you know who invented it. You know the number of factories they have around the world. That's knowledge. It's beautiful. You love it. In fact, when you're talking, you know, Toyota has 272 factories all around the world. And factory number one, there are five factories that can produce 1,000 in 1 hour. And you are given, and everybody goes, wow. But you, the same you, when you get on the road, if your Toyota car breaks down, that knowledge is useless. So we have to move from just knowledge to understanding. This is talking about the principles that governs the operations of God's kingdom. Understanding. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I want to give you three key areas that we must look into. I'm going to rush through them tonight. Three key areas that we must look into and make adjustments in our lives. Number one is what I call the inner image. The inner image. What do I mean by the inner image? He says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. No man will ever be greater than his inner image. This is so important. There are many people who love the Lord and mentally assent to what God says as true, but their inner image cannot support what they say they believe. I'll explain it this way. I always use this example. I grew up in Lagos. I don't know if anybody here grew up in Lagos. Anybody like that? Oh, my people, I can see you. Ruffians. All right. No, except pastor's wife. All the rest of you, ruffians. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Everywhere in Lagos, somebody is fighting, somebody is cursing somebody, they are breaking their hair. I was driving through Lagos today. I said, God, thank you for deliverance. I mean, some weeks back, thank you for deliverance. Now, if you know Lagos, you know what they call Agbero, right? You know conductor. Now, imagine, look at how pastor is looking sweet. You know, when I entered, I said, I need to relocate to Nasarawa. This is where it's happening. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Just give me one house somewhere there and let me be tapping from this grace. You know, but I mean, I saw pastor from the car. I said, my God, should I just turn back and find something and put on that? But look at the way pastor looks like. I mean, fantastic, phenomenal. I mean, we all appreciate what he's wearing. Pastor now is moved by the Spirit, now takes this cloth and gives it to Agbero. I hope you know that in 3 days, you will not recognize the cloth again. His inner image cannot support the blessing. In essence, you will reduce everything in your life to your inner image. You will reduce everything. Let me give you an example. You have a lady who probably has, and I say this out of, I mean, it's empathy, but it's the truth, who's had terrible experiences with guys or whatever it is. If pastor is seated here and he will bear me witness, have you not found out that certain people seem to always have the same kind of experiences? They leave one church, they say church boys are bad. Church boys, now, but that same church, another girl is saying, thank God for church. Thank God for church. And you are wondering, there was a lady was sitting before me. She, at a point, I almost began to cry with her. I say, I almost began to say, church boys are bad. Even me, I almost said it from the story she was telling. Now, here's what you don't know, is that whatever you have internalized is what you will attract in your world. Let me give you an example. I hope you know that Samson's first wife, the issue that happened in the life of Samson was not a wayward guy. I hope you know, many times we use Samson, say Samson, adulterer. No. Many of us just carry things without studying. We've never really studied the life of Samson. Samson was a good guy, anointed of God. What happened in the life of Samson? Some of you have not read the story. Samson was to marry. The night before his wedding, the father of the bride gave his bride to his best man. And best man eloped. What a best man. Eloped with his wife. Samson got angry. And he went on a rampage of destroying things. He didn't deal with the issue. And from that point, every lady that he attracted into his life was a lady that was a picture of that first person. Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you this, and this will shock you, but it's powerful. Your prayers and your fastings will produce, not according to God's power, but according to the power that's at work inside you. Let me explain that again. Your prayers, your confessions, your fastings, all these things that we are doing in the faith will not produce according to what God said or according to God's desire or God's power. It's going to produce according to the image that you have on the inside of yourself. Let's use the children of Israel as an example. They came out of Egypt. What did the Bible tell us about the children of Israel? At one point, Moses had gone up on the mountain. He was there for 40 days, you remember? And you know, sometimes we blame these people, but I don't blame them, sincerely speaking. I like to read and read the context. You are coming out. You are in the wilderness where there are enemy nations all around you. You don't have a defined army. You can't see anybody carrying bow and arrow and all the rest. You are slaves that just got delivered. And then the guy who was doing working miracles, showing you everywhere, and at least when you see him, you know that I'm fine. How many of you have found yourself in trouble before? And the moment pastor shows, I remember one day we had the hospital to pray for a certain lady and others, and she looked at me. She said, "Daddy, if you are here, my husband cannot die." I say, "Am I God?" In my heart, I said, "Don't put me under pressure. I'm not God. I'm telling you the truth." She just looked at me. Stop praying. Reverend, she stopped praying. She said, "Daddy, you are here. Daddy, you are here." That's what she said. So you can imagine that Daddy Moses, the one that parted the Red Sea, rained down manna from heaven, disappeared for 40 days. Heard nothing. So the people gathered and they said to Aaron, they said, "Aaron, please make us gods that we can see to give us some peace of mind. That will lead us through this wilderness." Now listen very carefully to this. What did Aaron do? Aaron took the very trinkets, bracelets, everything that God blessed them with. What did he make? He made the image of a calf. Now in Egypt, the number one idol that was worshipped in Egypt was a calf. In fact, Pharaoh was said to be a god. And one of the ways he was represented in the houses of the people was to have molten calves there. So listen carefully to what is going on here. They left Egypt, but the image of the God that they've always had with them never left them. Is somebody following what I'm saying here?
Yes.
So the moment, and this is what happens, the moment it looked as though the real God was absent in their lives, they reverted back to what they were. Are you getting what I'm saying here?
Yes.
Whether you know it or not, everybody here under the sound of my voice has an inner image. It is what you call an autopilot that regulates your life. In essence, you are stepping into a certain level. That's why a lady will look at a guy. The guy is loving her, doing everything. She says, "I can't receive this love. I just don't feel worthy of the love. I've had to counsel people. I said, are you blind? This guy loves you. No, no. I just don't feel worthy of the love. Why? There's an inner image on the inside of herself. Maybe she had lived a wayward life, aborted 7 times before she came into the faith. But here's the thing. You come into the faith, but your mind is not yet saved. It's your spirit that is saved. And so you come into the faith carrying the baggages of Egypt. Is somebody following what I'm saying here?
Yes,
so the moment it seemed as though God stepped out of the equation, they reverted back to what they knew to be normal. Now, this is the interesting thing. Pastor, sir, the blessing God gave them, they used it to build an image. And this is what will happen in... Listen, you have to understand this concept of the inner image. I grew up in a very poor home. So I am telling you what I had to deal with. Let me explain what I mean by that. By the time I was 4 years of age, my father told me this. By the time I was 4 years of age, I was born into a house with golden. You know, there are people that say, I've never suffered in my life. Me, I've suffered. All right? There's no glory in trying to. I've suffered. You get what I'm saying? I've suffered. And sometimes the only way you can appreciate light is to see small. All right. So, my dad was. If you know First Nigeria, British America Tobacco Company in Nigeria in those days. Made sure he was a managing director. Everything. Then he decided to go into business. Well, ill-informed and all dressed. First year, everything he owned crashed. That was the beginning of our woes. From 4 years of age. So my brother enjoyed a bit of it, but me, they burned me inside. I open my eyes, I see suffering. You get what I'm saying? Now, so I understand when you have gone through things, and this is what you don't know, that everything you have gone through is conforming and shaping your mind, such that when you say that 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, you say 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. You say things like God is able to make all grace, not some grace, abound towards you so that you, having all sufficiency in everything, you can abound to every good work. You have no lack, you have no want. You are declaring those things, but on the inside of yourself, there's an image that is reducing what abounding really means. For one person, that's why you hear somebody say, oh, I sent my child to this school, and they tell you the school fee. You say, what? What kind of waste of money is that? Because your inner image cannot. I hope you know what you call waste is normal for another.
Yes.
It's in your world that it is a waste. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying here?
Yes,
now, the problem with us many a times is that we are staying in the world to find revelation and rhema that we can declare, and people will look at us. And this is why you have people, Facebook pundits, social media, writing great things, their revelatory stuffs, and there is no fruit for it in their lives. Because you can stay with the word, come out with revelation, and you are not meditating to change that inner image. I found out that until I had to do something about that inner image, to say, listen, you can actually be wealthy with no limits. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying?
Yes,
and it does not affect your spirituality. I grew up knowing lack. So the norm for me was to expect that, oh no, you know, you can have a bit of increase here, you can have a bit of increase there. Until one day God said to me, I will never forget. He said, take the limits off me. He said, take the limits off me. He said, I can do beyond what you can imagine. He said, imagine more. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
What I'm telling you is this, that you seated there can be the biggest real estate mogul in the whole of northern Nigeria.
Yeah.
Knowing nobody, having no pedigree whatsoever. Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
This is what we mean when we say the kingdom has come.
Yeah.
This is what we mean. This is what we mean. We are not talking about just a bunch of people just excited at God, and then the world looks and says, oh, they are just excited. No, 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 no. When we step out, and they know clearly that these people have been with the Lord. They know clearly. Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
So the first thing we have to deal with is what? That inner image. That inner image. And what you should know is this, is that if your inner image is limited and small, your heart will always, once you face any adversity, and this is what happens when people in their journey of faith face some adversity, it looks like things are not going the way they want it to go. They get into depression, grief, sorrow, and some of them even begin to compromise on their faith. And the reason for that is that they have an inner image that cannot support where God is taking them to. Never forget this. God cannot bless you beyond your inner image. He cannot. He cannot. Hebrews 11:15 says this. It says that if their hearts were set on where they were coming from, it would have created opportunities in their lives to return there. In essence, whatever your heart is set upon, it will create opportunities for it to be manifested in your life. So we have to work on the inner image. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the New Living Translation, it says, your life goes in the direction of your heart. Your life goes in the direction of your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to show you a scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
God has given us the capacity to live in two worlds. And I need us to understand that the world of faith is not an imaginary world. We're going to come to that. The world of faith is not an imaginary world. Look at 2 Corinthians 6 verse 12. Can I have the Message translation? If I can have the Message translation, I would appreciate that. Message translation. All right. Can I have verse 11? Let me see verse 11. Do you have verse 11? All right. Everybody read together with me. One, two, go. Dear Corinthians, do we have the Message there? All right. So everybody, one, two, go.
Corinthians.
No, is that the Message? Okay, good. I want Message. 6:11. Is that it?
Yes.
Beautiful. Church, let's read together. I want to go. Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. Read on with me. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. Please point your finger to the nose of the person beside you. Yeah? And read verse 11 and verse 12 to them. Let's go back to verse 11. If the person is your boss at work or your HOD, is your wahala. Is your boss, all right. So you better use wisdom, all right. 6:11, point to the person now. Want to go. Dear, call their name. I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. Within fence, the smallness you feel comes from within. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. Verse 13, now advise them. I'm speaking as plainly as I can with great affection. Open up your life. Live openly and expansively. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell the person your life is not small. Tell them, I don't care where you're coming from, what family you're coming from, your history and your experience, your life is not small. It's important. Listen. I heard Yonggi Cho say that he will preach at the top of his voice. So one day they asked him, why are you shouting? It's just about 10 of us here. And Yonggi Cho said, I can see.
Yes.
I can see the crowd. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me tell you this. Until you see it inside, you will not see it outside. Even if you see it outside, you will reduce it to what you see inside. The kingdom to which we belong is an inside-out kingdom, not outside-in. It's inside-out. It must happen first inside. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Tell the person it's time to change that inner image.
It's time to change that inner image.
Some of you grew up in homes where you saw daddy beating mommy. You grew up in homes where they were always quarreling and arguing. If anybody ever tells you that you can have a home of peace and joy where there is no quarrel, he says a lie. We must fight. We have to fight. That's what shows that we love each other. It's mad people that are always fighting. The two mad people go to are you mad? Is your wife mad? Or your husband? So why do you say we must fight? Two are better than one. When you were alone, were you fighting? Maybe you were. But if two are better than one, then your fighting should end. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's unfortunate the ideologies that and how it has shrunk our minds. It's like you see somebody driving a brand new car now. What do you see? G-boy. Because somewhere at the back of your mind, you actually don't believe that the kingdom of God and the word of God can deliver that to you now. You actually have more faith and confidence in G-boy. You believe that if somebody is standing on the word, declaring the word, and somebody is pressing tortoise, he will get it. But you that are standing, no, it's not now. It's an interesting thing. Tell the person, open up. Tell us, open up. Say this, I refuse to be small. I refuse to be small. You see, you have to expand that inner image. Let me show you a few scriptures. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Hey, Hebrews 11 verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Are you still here? Is somebody, is something shifting on the inside of you? Don't do things small. Are you following what I'm saying here? Refuse to be small. Hear this. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible tells us that God said, let there be light, and there was light. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
If you read in 2 Corinthians, you know that that light was not the light of the sun. Right?
Yes,
we know that it wasn't the light of the sun. No. The sun was created, I think, on the 50th day or so, much later. Is it third or fifth day now? It was created much later. Now, but here's where I'm going to. Then God created the trees. God created the fishes, living things. God created Adam. Am I right? Now, but I hope you know that when you study in Genesis chapter 2, if you looked on the face of the earth, there was no tree, which means you could not hold an Iroko tree. If you were in Genesis 1, you can't, physically, you can't touch an Iroko tree. Because the Bible tells us in Genesis 2, 6, 7, and 8, it says that there was no tree in the earth yet, for there was no man to till the ground, and rain had not, God had not caused it to rain. So when you read Genesis 2, there was no tree. If you read Genesis 2, it tells you that as at Genesis 1, there was no human being, physical, that you could touch. He was a spirit being, which means if you looked with your physical eyes, you could not see Adam. It was in Genesis 2 that he was formed. And then that's when you could touch him physically. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Do you agree with what I've said so far?
Yes, sir.
Is it all biblical?
Yes,
all right. Now the Bible tells us in Genesis 1, and God saw, and God said he was good. What did he see, sir? If he then tells us in Genesis chapter 2 that there was no tree as at yet, no Adam as at yet, no way, none of those things as at yet, what did God see that God said it was good? You have to see it inside first. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying?
Yes,
whatever image you have not captured inside, even if you are blessed with it outside, you will reduce it to what you have inside. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying?
Yes,
that's why you can give somebody a car, and after 1 month, you say, car, is this the car I gave them? You are shocked at what they have turned the car to. Just like the conductor example I gave you. You are shocked at what they've turned the shirts to, the shoe to. Like, what? Because they will reduce everything in their lives to that inner image. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
That's why when you're marrying, make sure you marry someone who has a large inner capacity. Many women have been shrunken by their husbands. Story for another day. Hebrews 11, 1. It's faith seminar, faith conference. Before pastor will say, we didn't call you for relationship seminar. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Glory to God. Say this, I refuse to be small.
I refuse to be small.
He says, now faith is the substance. Say with me, it's a substance. It's not, you know, many times we think that, you know, maybe it's just, no, it's not imaginary. It's a substance of things hoped for. What I want to talk about there is hope. Many times we talk about faith and we don't talk about hope. Hope, there is that image. Are you following what I'm saying here? Hope as used in scriptures, please listen very carefully to me. Romans 8, I believe the 24th chapter verse, it talks about, it says, hope that is seen is not hope. That hope that you can physically see, physically touch is not hope. It says, but hope that is not seen, talking about with seeing with your physical eyes, that's what real hope is. Now, hope there does not refer to, and I think sometimes we teachers have done some injustice to this word. Because the Bible says faith, hope, and love, these three things abide. It tells you that hope is a spiritual force. And what it tells you from here is that faith actually gives substance to your hope. What faith does is to give substance to your hope, to that inner image. What is hope? Hope is that image you have on the inside of yourself that cannot be taken from you irrespective of your external circumstances. So you hear a man like Bishop David Oyedepo say that he studied the word of God and then he came out screaming, I cannot be poor. That's not because he had money in his pocket. Here's the problem, Pastor. Many people are shouting, I cannot be poor, but they have not created something. It's not coming from something they have seen that can't be taken from them. Many people are shouting, I cannot be broke, I cannot be sick. Many people are shouting all of those things and making those confessions without that image being formed on the inside of them. Are you following what I'm saying here? Yes. So you find a man, he will say something like, and I asked the son, Pastor Isaac, I said, is it true? I mean, how that the car was going, somersaulting, and then he said, his wife screamed and said, Jesus, Jesus, and right while they were somersaulting, not after, inside somersault. Inside some assault, he tapped. I said, once is enough. Once is enough. The second time is fear. Once is enough. Some of you is cockroach, ordinary cockroach. You can't. The car is some assaulting, and you have the time to be teaching. Are you following what I'm saying here? When we talk about hope, we are talking about an autopilot, we are talking about an operating system. It is unseen, but it governs your perception. It governs your confession. It governs your actions and your reactions. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here?
Yes,
now, all of us can be declaring, I cannot be broke. One person has that inner image of prosperity and abundance. He gets outside and then he gets a message. And the message says that tonight, pack your load out of the house. You have been owing for this number of months and address, not address. He sees the message and he begins to laugh. They're asking him, why are you laughing? He does not even know why he's laughing. You see, because whatever is inside you is what will answer what is outside.
Yes, sir.
Are you getting what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Right now, all of us can be declaring it, but when life hits you, the Bible says Jesus answered the fig tree. He didn't command the fig tree, he answered it. There was something on the inside of Jesus that had no space for no abundance or non-fruitful, for barrenness. And so when he hit a situation where it looked as this thing was barren, he answered from that place of abundance. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
The other person does not have that inner image formed on the inside of himself. Receives that text message. Hey, I have joy. I have joy. I believe I receive. I believe. God. Can we agree together? You are calling somebody. You see, when you look at the person is doing Christianese. The person is praying. The person is confessing. He's speaking in tongues. Are you getting what I'm saying here? But all of that is from an inner image of what? Scarcity. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? The way you know the inner image you have is when life hits, how do you respond subconsciously without thoughts? I'm not saying that you think it through. Life hits, how do you respond? Years ago, my wife called me from the hospital. This was my second son. Funny enough, it was yesterday. Yesterday was his birthday, his seventh birthday. So this is a test. This is a good testimony. I'm telling you the truth. She called me and then I trained as a doctor. She trained as a doctor. So we knew exactly what the doctors were saying. They said, well, oligohydraminos or whatever it is, you don't have enough amniotic fluid in the womb. And then they checked and they said, he has kidney dysfunction and is going to be born with congenital anomaly. I wish my wife were here. My God. I wasn't there. She called me on the phone. I said, get out of there now. I said, what's going on? I said, get out. Get out of there now. And we're not using that hospital again. She said, beg me. No, you know, I've been doing antenatal here. I said, they can't tell me what I know. Oh, rubbish. God beareth me witness. You know, King James is better for prophetic utterance. If you say the Lord says, it's not deep. Thus saith the Lord. God beareth me witness. Not one day of prayer, sir. My own son of my loins. Satan, you must be mad. What rubbish. And I told her, I said, this will not be a prayer point one day of my life. I said, sweetheart, you are delivering a healthy whole baby. She said, I've heard. I said, yeah, I've heard. Now, that thing is coming from somewhere, sir.
Yes, sir.
You can't just wake up and say, okay, God be with me witness. It's coming from somewhere. Just some months before that, I saw it, Exodus 7:1. See, Moses, I have made you a god to Pharaoh. I was still reeling in the heat and the wealth of this revelation. You now come and tell me my child has kidney abnormalities. The boy is 7 years old now. Are you following what I'm saying? Hear this. Life will always test to know what is inside. And everybody has to be brutally honest with themselves. How do you respond to life? Is it fear that comes first? It tells you the inner image. Dr. Bjorn Winston was talking about this. He said one day he was at the gas station. This was years ago when he was still in a lot of poverty and all the rest. He said he was at the gas station and then somebody asked for a certain amount, full tank. He said where he was, he screamed. He said, what? He couldn't believe that somebody could buy full tank at once. 1K now, 2K, 3K, 500 naira. Wherever I reach, carry keg. Do you get what I'm saying? He said he screamed where he was. God told him, he said, that's the boundary of your life. Expand it. How do we expand the boundaries of our heart? Meditation in the word. And let me tell you something. You have to be aggressive about it. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
The interesting thing, sir, is that nobody can meditate for you. Nobody can what? You know why I'm sharing this with you? The Lord told me, and heaven bears me witness, that wealth, heavy wealth, is hitting this house. Yeah. Heavy wealth. Yeah. Heavy wealth. Yeah. Reverend, God told me, heavy wealth, heavy wealth. Yeah. I prayed. I said, God, won't I look now? There is money, wealth, prosperity. God said, that is what I've told you to go and see. Heavy wealth. God is raising giants from this house. Giants. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Don't ever say, I have just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. No, don't ever say that. God is raising giants from this house. Giants. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I said, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I said, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You have to be aggressive about it. Meditation, nobody can meditate for you. If this is all I can get to you from the 3 points, it's fine. If this is all I can get to you, it's fine. Something has to shift on the inside. I pastor thousands of churches. Every Sunday, I preach to millions. Is your business? Listen, the numbers you people are counting is your business. The numbers you people are recording is your business. I have been to the mountain. I've seen the future. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying? We did not follow cunningly devised fables. No, sir. Yes. This thing works.
Yes, sir.
Is somebody listening to what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1 and 2. He says, woe to these children who go down to Egypt, seeking help in Egypt. Then he talks about how that they look for covers and they look for all of that in Egypt and others and others. And he says, Egypt shall be their shame. Then I believe in verse 15. He says, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Our strength is not in activities, but staying with the word. If the word can change you, it will change your world. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying?
Yes,
if the word of God can change you, it will change your world. The biggest challenge we have today is believers are too indisciplined to stay with the word. Too indisciplined. If people will actually begin to sit with the word. So I was praying, and then the Lord showed this to me. When they were going to come out of Egypt, two major things happened. And both of them together actually is what is called the Passover. Number one, he said to them, he said, take a lamb, kill it. Let the head of each house kill it. And then take the hyssop and apply the blood on the lintel of the house. It's only one man that applies the blood on the lintel of the house. And everyone who is in that house experiences and enjoys life. That person is delivered from the debt that is in Egypt by the act of one man, not their act. We did not receive life by our act. We received it by the act of Jesus. But sir, even though the blood is applied, it is applied in Egypt. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Then he tells them, he says, every man must now take of the flesh of that lamb and eat for themselves. It's not the head of the family that will now eat for you. You must eat for yourself. Then he adds, this is the Lord's Passover. So how do they pass over from Egypt into the promise? Not by the application of blood, but by everyone eating for themselves. Listen, what we experience in God is not what Jesus did. It's not based on what Jesus did for us. It's based on what we do with what Jesus did for us. Everybody has an open ticket. Everybody has an open ticket. But Mark 4:24, the Amplified Classic, the measure of thought and study you give to the word is the measure of virtue and power that flows back to you. Mark 4:24, the Amplified Classic. The measure of thought and study you give to the word is the measure of virtue and power that flows back to you. Years ago, God told me, he said, leave Lagos. Take nothing. Reverend, I took nothing from Lagos except my books. Came into this city. I was living in Chevron Drive, Lekki, Lagos. If you know Lekki, if you know Lagos, you know where I'm describing is the cream de la cream. This is the point where you are like, you know, God, praise God, this ministry thing, you actually called me. Hallelujah. Everything was soft. Everything was soft. You know soft life? Everything was soft. My children had never seen them take light, never. It was 24/7, bam, bam, everything. They go to play ground with onyibos. You know, I'm walking, I'm like, my God, you're a good God. One of those days, God said to me, he said, did I not tell you that your days in Lagos are numbered? He said, now arise and get to Abuja. I said, I'm not going no. I'm not going no. This life is soft. But here's the problem. You see, it is not the land that determines your prosperity. It's where the cloud is. You better follow the cloud. You better follow the cloud. So I knew the cloud had shifted from Lagos to Abuja. I knew for me it had shifted. So I asked my wife, she said, but you told me this years ago. I said, hey, I did. I was hoping she would see otherwise. So I go and meet God and say, you see, you are not the author of confusion. You cannot this. So she said, but you told me. I said, all right. So we agreed and we said together, okay, you know, I will come to Abuja and then she will stay in Lagos. And when everything is settled, then I'll bring herself. Then we had just two kids, two boys. We'll bring the kids and others and others. We agreed. Pastor, as I went into my study, the word of the Lord came to me. And the Lord said to me, you know when God is asking a rhetorical question? He said, and when Abraham went, he came back to get Sarah. So I went to my wife. I said, I just heard this. I just want to ask you. And when Abraham went, he came back. So we both got the message. I said, all right, let's go. We had planned with somebody, Games Village, say her father has a house in Games Village. We can squat there for 3 months. I said, just give me 3 months. Within 3 months. Because God told me to give everything. My car, our car in Lagos, the house, I entered this city with 72,000 naira. Nothing else anywhere in the world. God said, leave everything. My God. My God. A day before we were going to come to Abuja, the lady called and said, Pastor, I'm so sorry. My parents have gotten somebody into the house. I said, eh? I will stay there. She said, Pastor, you can't stay there. I said, so where will I stay? Pastor, I'm sorry. We landed Abuja. My wife asked me, said, sweetheart, where are we going to stay? I said, I don't know. For the first time in my life, she said to me, said, you always have answers. This one, because I did not know. Eventually, we found somewhere to squat in a one room, coming from 6-bedroom duplex. The next day, they took light. My son almost fainted. He screamed. He said that. Monia. This is really Nigeria. Glory to God. One of those days, my wife woke up in the morning, said, sweetheart, she was pregnant. She said, with my daughter, she said, what am I going to eat? There was nothing to eat. I had phone number, people I could call. But listen, there was something on the inside of me that knew. God had spoken to me, Isaiah 50 verse 7. I shall not be ashamed. I shall not. I've set my face as a flint. I shall not be confounded.
Yes, sir.
Reverend, this thing I'm telling you, I woke up that morning about 5 a.m. like a madman roaming the streets of Sunnyvale Estate, Lokogoma, where we're squatting. Mangobayata, I shall not be ashamed. Anybody that saw me would have thought I was a madman. Sir, I'm not ashamed. This thing works. Hey, somebody listen to what I'm saying. If we will sit down with the word, it works. And the first place of change is inside, not outside. When you come to a place in your life and you say, I cannot be broke. Not because somebody said it, but because you stayed long enough on it. Some years ago, this was 2 or 3 years ago, I said to my wife, I'm not comfortable with our finances. I'm glad for what God is doing, but this is not what the Bible says we can have. So I said to her, I'm going on a 7-day fast. I said, I'm going on a 7-day fast and I'm staying with the word. So I took some books and my Bible. I would sit down on her dressing chair, or this dressing table. You know, dressing tables don't have back. So if you fall down, you break your back. So I sat down there 7 a.m. to 12 noon every day, pouring through the scriptures. Between 12 noon and 1 p.m., my wife would join me, we'll pray in the spirit and make confessions of the word. On the 7th day, the heavens opened. I heard the word of the Lord clearly. He said to me, he said, a greater than Solomon is here. He said, I said that, but now you are he. I knew it. So that scripture is no more me just reading something from the Bible. What Jesus said, I can say of myself. This is not just me Christianness. Something broke on the inside of me. I can't think lack. It's not possible. It's not. One day my wife said to me, said, the way you give, because I can't think lack. I cannot lack. I can't think sickness. Have I been attacked in my body? Yes. One day light broke into my spirit. I heard it. Strangers shall flee away from their hiding places. Sickness is a stranger in my body. Is somebody getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Mary, Martha. Mary was busy doing everything. Martha was busy doing everything. Mary sat down. Martha said, won't you tell her to come and join me? What did Jesus say? He said, listen, she has chosen the better part. Because what she has chosen cannot be taken from her. Tell the person beside you, it's time to get back to the word. Very simple. But I can tell you that everything, or else what we would have is religion. We'll just be enjoying God. And this is why many people fall away. You see them very committed in church. After 10 years, you're like, what happened to that brother? What happened to that sister? Jesus himself said, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. There are results you must get in faith and prayer to sustain your Christian joy. There's joy you have by faith. There's a joy that comes by seeing the results of your faith. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Have you been blessed today?
Yes, sir.
Say this, I am not small.
I am not small.
Say it again, I am not small.
I am not small.
Say it one more time, I am not small.
I am not small.
Say this, I refuse to be broke.
I refuse to be broke.
I refuse to be sick.
I refuse to be sick.
Say this, my life is large.
My life is large.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You believe it?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, you that are seated here, you're talking like that. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Somebody said, it's the place you can travel without getting visa is inside. You don't need to get visa. You can travel. Travel into the future that God has for you. This is the least you will ever be.
Yeah.
I come here bringing the blessing of God over you as an individual and over this house. This is the least you will ever be.
Amen.
Today, in the name of Jesus, let every limiting belief patterns, let them be broken now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I decree and I declare that you will enjoy the fullness that God has for you.
Amen.
Nobody here is permitted to be small. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Many years ago, I was in my study, and as I was praying, the word of the Lord came to me. My wife was pregnant, and he said, her name shall be... Now, years before, the Lord had told me the order in which my children were going to come. Boy, boy, girl. Humorous story, very interesting story. When my wife went for scan, first scan, second scan, for the third child, they said it's a boy. I said, tell them your husband said he's a girl. She said, come with me. So we went for one. They said, we can't see anything. He's a boy. I said, he's a girl. I said, okay. We'll see when she delivers. So I told her. She said, should we buy boy clothes? This one that they are seeing boy. Is it two or three scans? I said, let me tell you something. And it's something you should learn. The doctor's x-ray and scan is not as accurate as fate. What are you talking about? I said, go and buy girl clothes. Go and buy girl. After two scans, that they said, boy. I said, what I saw was girl. Go and buy two girl clothes. One of those, well, obviously, it's a girl. One of those mornings, I was in my study while she was still pregnant as well, and I saw this young, pretty little girl running to me. She was slim, very slim, but pretty, fierce. The Lord told me, she said, she'll be a beautiful, fierce lioness of mine. So I went to my wife, I said, funny enough, your daughter will have my stature. She said, no, my daughter must be like me. I said, no, I've seen it. There's nothing. The girl is just like me. Up till now, she's always saying that. Why are you always saying rubbish? You didn't see, why is that? But here's where I'm going to. When I saw, she was running towards me. So at 10 months of age, we found out that she could not walk. We went to, my wife is a doctor. We went there. They told us that you presented too late. To cut the long story short, they said, we might have to do a surgery. Chances of her ever walking is 10%. Somebody that I saw running. You say she can't walk. We couldn't take her to church for that year. In fact, my wife, we're having a family meeting yesterday night. And we're talking because the brother just celebrated his birthday. And so my wife was telling them, we are changing the order of celebration of birthday and everything. She was, we're doing executive council meetings and all dress. And I remember my wife said to, she just made a statement and tears rolled down my eyes when she said it. She said, oh, you know that Fikayo, that's my daughter, could not celebrate her first year birthday. And it was true because she was creeping on the floor. She had cast and everything. Till 1 year, I think about 7 months. Till about 1 year, 7 months. But there was no day I felt like my daughter would not walk. There was no day. Even though every time we visited the hospital, it's too late. These bones here, they are fused. These ones are still growing. But the ones for this one, the tendon is too short. Something. The risk of doing the surgery. I said, I've heard everything. But today she's walking, jumping, running everywhere. You still saw her today. She's jumping everywhere. Listen, faith works. And this is not the exclusive preserve of a pastor somewhere or anything. It's a Christian thing. It's a Christian thing. My prayer for you today is that God's Spirit will open the eyes of your inner man.
Amen.
And cause you to see and know the word of God in truth.
Amen.
In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.